verifying the knife is still there. My heart begins to pound. I drop low, slinking from tree to tree as I near the cabin. A strange, almost animal-like focus comes over me, like a hunter sneaking up on its prey. As quiet as a deer, I slip through the underbrush, coming up on the backside of the cabin. My senses are on high alert, my ears tuned to every rustle and crack. Over the years, this side of the mountain has become a makeshift encampment with half-hidden shelters made of tarps strung between trees and rope marking property lines. In this part of the woods, you never know who's watching. Moonlight filters through the clouds, briefly illuminating the small patch of land. Litter covers the ground. Dozens of empty beer bottles and cans, old wrappers, plastic bread sleeves, used needles, charred spoons, wrinkled foil, a pipe. In the center is a log cabin, a crumbling one-room structure, more ruin than shelter, tucked so deeply into the trees that you'd miss it if not looking for it. The roof has partially caved in on one side and is covered by a faded blue tarp. The chimney leans at an unnatural angle, its cracked bricks scattered around the base like brittle bones. Moss creeps up the sides like mold. A single window, no larger than a mailbox, is covered with a mildewed floral sheet, so threadbare it flutters like lace in the night breeze. There is no light inside. Heart hammering, I maneuver through the litter but slip on a glass bottle. It rolls out from under my sneaker and clanks against another. I freeze, my eyes rounding as I brace for a response. None comes. Once I'm certain my presence remains unknown, I begin again. This time, less harried, less urgent, less excited. It's time, the voice coos, a jovial hint to her tone. She, too, is excited. The time has come. The wind shifts, carrying a putrid wave of decay. My stomach lurches as I reach into the side pocket of my jacket and retrieve the carving knife. A ragged snore rattles from the opened window as I pass. Silently, I slip my gloved hand over the doorknob. My grip tightens around the knife in my other hand. It's time, the voice whispers, louder now. Driven by some unforeseen but very real thing, I drop to my knees, raise the knife, and stab him through the trench coat. Though his eyes don't focus, likely from the drugs lingering in his system, he jerks awake and looks directly at me, shocked. The emotion hits me like a tidal wave. The release of adrenaline is so severe that I'm suddenly dizzy, heady with a strange, all-consuming rush. He moans loudly, and I'm enraptured by everything in the moment. In awe of it, the suffering, the power I feel. But as quickly as the emotion arose, a strange counter-emotion collides with it. Sadness. No, keep going, the voice hisses. You have to do this. Finish it. When his body finally goes limp, the only sound left is my ragged, shuddering breath. The knife slips from my fingers, clattering onto scarred hardwood floor. I stare at the scene in front of me and rock back onto my heels, my chest heaving. What have I done? Oh God, what have I done? The sound of movement in the distance spurs me into action. I surge up, but then quickly turn back and pluck the bloody knife from the floor. It's covered in my prints. Voices, drunk and angry, carry on the distant wind. Someone from the nearby encampment is awake. I lunge out of the cabin and maneuver through the trash, almost tripping over the makeshift toilet. I can barely balance. I can hardly breathe. The voices in my head grow louder. What did you do? Lillian, what did you do? Tears blur my vision as I slip into the trees and run.